The Chase Report is brought to you by your mum. I'm sorry. That was dumb. I take it back. I swear I'll do better next time.
God, I'm so stupid!
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. On Monday, the 20th of September 2021, we have Gabby Bolt, we have me, Dom Knight, and Charles Firth for the last time before he buggers off for a week. Charles, how could you?
I know, it's going to be so good not to have to work with either of you.
Yay!
I'm looking forward to just working with Gabby, actually. I think Charles has been holding us back.
I really don't do anything, Dom.
Well, let's see in a week whether the ratings have plunged, because that's my prediction. Yeah.
Should we make this interesting? How much money have you got?
That's a good question, because that's a lovely segue into what I want to talk about. And I'm so happy.
Way to avoid the bet, but go on.
You know, everyone here is probably a bit povo, right? You know, like you got to...
No.
Do you have credit card or Afterpay or something like that? Do you have enough?
We're working on a Afterpay podcast because we love it.
That's right. So, you know, maybe, like, how much have you got on Afterpay? Like, not a personal question. Like,
oh, I pay all of it off. Because I grew up povo, you see, so I know what debt can do to somebody.
So it's like, you know, like at most it would ever be like $500 or something.
I think the last thing I purchased with it was a concert ticket, which, you know, went down the shitter anyway. But it was like, $250.
$250, okay. So spare a thought for Evergrande. Have you heard about Evergrande?
No, what's Evergrande? No.
Right. So Evergrande, it is a company in China that has just gone broke. Guess how much debt Evergrande racked up before they realized, oh, wait a minute, we don't have any money to pay it back.
Oh, 10, 20 billion?
5 million?
$300 billion.
No, they didn't.
Dollars.
What?
They've collapsed with $300 billion worth of
debt. That's like three times the Australian sub program.
No, exactly.
That's like a quarter of student debt in this country now. Are they going to jail? Is that?
It's all very protected by the Chinese Communist Party, so there probably won't be that many consequences. But
oh, well, if they're in the Chinese Communist Party, then everybody in the country will be paying it back.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, it's been compared to the collapse of Lehman Brothers, which was a sort of comparable size, actually. But that led to the GFC. I don't know whether you know what the GFC is.
That cheeky little 2008 Broadway number. Yeah, I remember that.
And the funny thing is that Evergrande collapsed last week on the same day as the anniversary of the Lehman Brothers collapse. So
that's so impressive.
It was the 13th anniversary of Lehman Brothers not being able to pay its debt.
Unlucky 13th anniversary. There you go.
Yes. And it's going to have consequences on the Chinese economy for years. I would just note, last week Australia signaled that it was buying a few nuclear subs, and then the whole of the Chinese economy collapsed basically the next day.
Right.
I think we can claim victory in the war on China.
I mean,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
On today's show, Sammy Shah is going to take a look at what Labor's been up to with its pre-selections. Nothing controversial there. In a moment, though, we'll head to Rebecca Dionimino in the Chaser newsroom.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
France has withdrawn its ambassador from Australia after the Morrison government cancelled its nuclear submarine deal. France called the move treason and said it was not acceptable from an ally, as opposed to blowing up a Greenpeace boat moored in an ally's harbour, which is internationally recognised as an act of friendship. New Labour lower house candidate Christina Keneally said she was looking forward to representing the people of Western Sydney in the parliament and was hoping to meet one at some point. When told locals' major concern was about an outsider taking away the seat of Fowler from a local, Keneally maintained she still felt more welcome than she had been as New South Wales Premier. Scott Morrison cut Christian Porter loose yesterday after he could not explain who had funded his legal blind trust.
The PM decided that dodgy deals involving vast amounts of money were only appropriate if the funds were for car parks or overpriced land near an airport. Porter has sued the Blind Trust that funded his legal battle against the ABC for defamation and expects it to fund his case against itself. Those are the latest headlines from The Chaser. Welcome to the war for another week. I'm Rebecca De Unamuno.
Just before we chat with Sammy Shah about Labor and Christina Keneally and so on Saturday we published a chat with Dave Smith from the US Studies Centre at Sydney Uni about AUKUS, this new grouping with Australia, the UK and the US, and the nuclear submarines that we're supposed to be getting at some point in the future, wherever that may be. We wanted to understand whose interest this was in. Was it in our interest or America's? And whether we had any chance of really containing China in the region. We also wanted to catch up on the latest from Trump world. Here is the beginning of that conversation. You can find the rest of it, all 35 minutes or so, in your podcast feed.
How's it going?
Were you surprised by this?
Ah, yes, I was. This was very effectively kept secret. Like, I've got to say, my respect for the Australian government's ability to keep secrets has increased as a result of this. Whether that's good from a democratic perspective is a different question. But certainly this has taken pretty much everybody by surprise.
Well, one of the good things when you're a government that's consistently involved in cover-ups is that you get really good at keeping secrets. Like, it's a core strength.
Yeah, and they kept it from the French and from the Kiwis, it seems, as well. And yes. We never got a say about whether we wanted to go nuclear either. So there you go.
Yes, the French reaction of heartbreak has really been something to behold. So this has really been a surprise. There have been a lot of people in Australia who have been advocating for increased technology sharing with the US, but I think that even they were surprised by the extent to which this has suddenly happened.
Mm. And the spin has been that Morrison did this basically on his own, didn't he? He went out 18 months ago and said, we need some submarines, and it's been, you know, being talked about behind closed doors for 18 months. And I suppose that means that Morrison went, we've got to align ourselves more with Trump. Like, because Trump was in the White House back 18 months ago. So is that what was going on? Like, he was going, this guy looks like the stable person.
The broader context of this is that, when Morrison took power 3 years ago, he said Australia doesn't have to choose between the US and China. Now, since then, Australia's relationship with China has deteriorated massively for a number of reasons, some of which are related to the trade war with China that Trump began. Mm. And then there have been other things like Australia's, you know, firm line on we need to investigate the causes of the pandemic, Australia taking a fairly firm line on Hong Kong, and things like that. But it is all connected to the Australian relationship to the US, which during the Trump period, that China saw that as that was deepening. So, despite the fact that 3 years ago, Morrison said we don't have to choose between the US and China, sort of since then we have continually chosen the US.
The Chaser Report. Less news, more often.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Chaser Report is sponsored by... Wait, no. One second, hold on.
Hey, John.
Hey, sorry. I'm doing Spotties today, and I'm really struggling here. Can I get a hand?
Yeah, of course. What do you got, mate?
So I'm working on this pull my finger joke, and I...
No, you can't really do a pull my finger joke. It's too visual for a pod. Cool. Get out.
Now, if you're a regular listener to The Chaser Report, you know that we don't really discuss Labor and its shortcomings very much. That's largely because they're not in power, but it's also because they're above criticism. They can do no wrong in the eyes of this podcast. And as Sammy Shah joins us, I'm sure he'll agree. Hello, Sammy.
Hello, Dom. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Just thinking about how great Labour are, really. And
I mean, they really are flawless. Inspiring. They're quite fantastic. Just the way that they understand politics and how to win at it is so, you know, it's textbook. You literally could write a textbook and beat them to death with it.
What is going on here? What is this? Opposites Day and you haven't told me or something. What is going on?
Look, I don't know if you've heard, Charles, but like I just saw Anthony Albanese, who I don't know if you know, his official title is Deputy Leader of the Opposition, with the official leader of the opposition, of course, being Malcolm Turnbull. But Anthony Albanese was giving a speech about how diverse Labour is and how incredible Labour is with its diversity because his last name is Albanese. Even though he genuinely looks so boringly white, he makes Bill Shorten look ethnic. So, yeah.
So, sorry, I'm actually genuinely confused here. Mm. So what you're saying is Anthony Albanese is a diverse candidate in the next election, and that he's in the opposition, is he? I always assumed he must be in the government because he always backs in the government.
Right. I can see that confusion. I totally understand why, especially, you know, with the submarine deal right now and how much he's supported that and how much he's supported, you know, anything to do with basically anything the government has to say. You would think that, but no, this is surprising information. You're right. One of the things that I found really exciting is that they you know, diversity is such a difficult thing in Australian politics to embrace, and Labour has done such a good job of it over the years, to the point that Christina Keneally, who I don't know if you're familiar with her, she's an American, which we're reminded of every time she opens her mouth. And she basically got into politics because her husband wanted to get into politics, and Labour's gender diversity quota prevented him from doing so, and she, being a woman, was therefore pushed into politics. That's literally how Christina Keneally got into politics. It's a beautiful story about what a woman can achieve when given an opportunity through diversity. And she has just celebrated that, you know, passed it on, you know, just made sure that the next person down the line also gets those benefits by going to a suburb where there's, I think, 500,000 Asian Australians and just saying, fuck all of you in the face, I am now Asian. She is, she's the Scarlett Johansson of Australian politics. And it's really been amazing to watch someone just walk in and take shit that belongs to someone else.
That's what this country is built on.
That's true. I'm going to stick up for Christina. I don't think you understand, Sammy, as a Victorian via WA, what she achieved here. What she did was she stepped in at a time when Labor was so mired in corruption and so on the nose that they had to choose someone different. So they chose a woman, made her premier, and she had a glowing 15 months of people resigning every week from her front bench. And then she got summarily dumped by voters. So she was an amazing fall woman just when the party needed someone to fail on their behalf.
Look, it's one of those things which, you know, I'm from Pakistan. We've had a woman prime minister twice. Not once, but twice we've had a woman prime minister, which makes us better than Australia in that 100%. Regard. We've also then, unfortunately, it was the same woman twice, and then we killed her in a bomb blast. So, you know, in some ways we kind of balance things out. But one of the things you discover about a woman prime minister, which Australia will one day also discover about, let's say, a person of colour who's a prime minister, is that they're still shit politicians. They just are a politician with a different wrapping, which is an important thing to show. What's amazing is Christina Keneally, who now is basically parachuted into Fowler, taking the seat away from Tu Le, who is a Vietnamese Australian born in Australia to refugee parents, is that Christina Keneally last year wrote an entire column about an op-ed piece about how immigrants should stop coming to Australia and taking Australian jobs, and basically we should close the door on our temporary migrant intake, which she's an immigrant, and now she's taking the job away from an Australian citizen. What the fuck?
No, but in fairness, Sammy, like, she actually justified it. She said that she is paving the way for people like Tu Le by getting into Tu Li's seat, then one day people like Tu Li will be able to get a seat. And she's just paving the way.
As opposed to the day being the next election day when Tu Li gets into power. Is that?
No. You go, like, Christina will be there. She'll show Tu Li how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then someone like Tu Li, when Christina resigns in 20 years' time, can then have their way paved. You see?
Do you know, Charles, do you know how paving stones are laid down? To carry that metaphor a little bit further. When you pave the way for something, right? It means you're laying down paving stones. You have to lay down a bit of a concrete or kind base. And that concrete is usually created, particularly it comes from ancient Rome. When we talk about these things, you know, there's ash, there's volcanic ash, and there's sometimes human bones incorporated into that concrete mixture to give it a certain stability and gluten and everything. So, you know, she is paving the way literally on the concreted bones of people of color. So, thank you, Christina Keneally. You really are showing us how to do. You know, the best thing about this is now any American who moves to Australia can feel inspired enough to get into Australian politics, because that's what we've been wanting. More Americans in our political structure.
Yeah, it can only go well for us.
Absolutely.
Look, Sammy, Paul Keating made a very helpful interjection into this discussion saying that, look, that's all well and good, but you need executive experience. You need people who know how to actually run the country and do the job. And I think that's a good point. What Christina Keneally brings to the front bench is someone who knows how to get plummeted into a job, not do it very well, and then get kicked out of it within 15 months. I mean, that Tu Li does not have that experience, surely.
Absolutely. Tu Li, you're right. And Paul Keating is 100% correct. Tu Li might be naive enough to think that you got to stand for something, that you got to have values and principles, that when you do this job, you got to be good at it, that you got to believe in equal representation for the people, that democracy is for the people, by the people, of the people. All of these things that have no place in Australian politics, and Paul Keating is 100% correct.
But what about the grassroots? Because this is the thing, the other thing that really annoys me is that people in that electorate seem to want to determine who their candidate will be. Whereas what we know is that the way that our system works is that if there's a safe seat, a seat that is so safe that Labor can't possibly lose it, they can put whoever they want. They can just parachute in some old hack who's been around for ages and they've just got to put up with it. There's no grassroots. That's not how our system works.
This whole grassroots thing, this isn't Obama's America. Stop using incorporated language. We've never had a grassroots campaign in Australia. We're not going to start having one now. This is Australia, goddammit. You better learn how to live here. You better love it or you leave it, just like Christina Keneally probably will say in her next op-ed column.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, has anybody seen John? He's meant to be doing sponsors. No? Okay, I'll just... Right. Let's see. The Chaser Report is...
What'd you say?
I was doing the sponsor reads. I just said the Chaser Report is...
Chaser Report on D's nuts. Fucking got him.
Thanks. Thanks, John.
Man, these neighbor stories will not stop. It's just it's a never-ending saga.
So what's happened?
Okay, so you already know the story about the neighbor that I may or may not have plotted his murder, who lives behind me.
Is he dead yet? Or?
No, he's not, because the doof-doof still happens on a semi-regular occurrence. But no, now there's a new addition to the fun. My next-door neighbor, who is this very lovely woman, informed us earlier this week that her roof needed some repairs done, and so they had to build scaffolding on the side of our property to get to her roof because all the houses in my street are really close together. So they've built some scaffolding and everything, and I have never witnessed roof repairs being done, but oh, is it loud. It's so loud.
Are your roofs connected? Like,
no.
No, right.
No.
So you're probably grateful for the doof doof because it gives you a break from the other noise.
Not really. Lucky for me, so far, they haven't occurred at the same time.
Can you ask them to syncopate it?
Oh.
I was getting a bit grumpy with them this morning because I was like, because not only are they bashing a roof apart, but they also started blasting radio.
Oh, man, that's so 1980s.
You should introduce them to podcasts. Well, you should introduce them to our podcast.
The tide's turned. I got to say, I think I can win these guys over because then Copacabana started playing, of all things, Manilow, and I heard about five tradies at once just go, "We fell in love." And I was like, oh, Copacabana, I love this.
So you hear noisy intrusion. What I hear is opportunity for street karaoke.
I don't know if that would get me then called by Crime Stoppers. They might cause me. I don't want to become the noise disturbance.
Well, Gabby, the moment that it's illegal in the state of New South Wales, we will all come over to your house. We'll bring an incredibly loud PA system and we will do karaoke. Very late in the night.
Jesus. Well, only if it's Barry Manilow.
Oh, I love Barry Manilow. I grew up with
Barry. Are you kidding? Right, we're old enough to genuinely like Barry Manilow in a non-ironic way. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We read them at the end of the week. And maybe just mention Barry Manilow in today's one, if you'd be so kind.
And you should subscribe to the podcast or follow it in your podcast app.
Our gears from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network.
Gotcha.
Catch you next week, except for you, Charles. Get out of here.
I'm away. See ya, fuckwits. Oh, thank God.